If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, strap in, everyone, because today we are diving deep into some Ballon d'Or drama.
Oh, yeah.
The messiest we've seen in a while.
For sure.
Now, for those who might not know, the Ballon d'Or is basically the biggest award a football player can win.
Yeah, think the Oscars, but for football.
Exactly. It crowns the best male and female players in the world. But this year...
This year got a little crazy.
Just a little, huh?
Maybe more than a little. The football world was already losing its mind because, for the first time in what feels like forever, we didn't have Messi or Ronaldo even nominated.
Right. It felt like a whole new era was about to begin.
Like a changing of the guard, for sure.
And everyone was pretty much convinced that Real Madrid's Vinicius Jr. was going to take home the trophy.
I mean, how could he not? The guy was unstoppable all season, led Real Madrid to both the La Liga and Champions League titles.
Exactly. So everyone thought it was a done deal.
Yeah, well, that's where things took a sharp turn.
Oh, here we go.
Right before the ceremony, Real Madrid dropped a bomb. They announced they were boycotting the entire event.
No way. What? Why?
Rumors started flying that Vinicius Jr. wasn't actually going to win, and that Manchester City's Rodri was the one they'd chosen.
Hold on. So Real Madrid basically said, if our guy isn't winning, we're not showing up.
Pretty much. Apparently, some leaked info got back to them, and they were not happy about it, not one bit.
Well, talk about a power move.
Yeah.
So, I gotta ask, did Rodri actually win?
He did.
And what does this whole boycott thing say about what really goes on behind the scenes with the Ballon d'Or?
That's a great question. And one we're gonna unpack right now. Buckle up. Okay, so let's break down Rodri's win a little bit. And this is huge for him, right?
Absolutely huge. Manchester City's first ever Ballon d'Or. And get this, he's only the second Spanish player to win it since 1960.
Crazy.
Absolutely wild. But Rodri, he's not exactly like, you know, Mbappe or Haaland.
Yeah. He's not the flashy goal scorer, that's for sure.
So what made the voters choose him?
Well, Rodri is all about the team.
Okay, yeah.
Think of him as the conductor of the orchestra.
I like that.
He controls the tempo, the flow of the game, and he makes everyone around him play better. And let's not forget, he was essential to Manchester City winning the Premier League and Spain winning the Euros this year.
Okay, yeah. Now that you mention it, I'm starting to understand why he got so many votes. But going back to Real Madrid's boycott for a second.
Yeah.
Was it just about the leaked results? Or was there something else going on?
Well, the leaked results definitely didn't help.
Right.
But Real Madrid felt like the whole thing was disrespectful. Like, the award was rigged against them from the start. Some reports even said they thought Dani Carvajal, their right back, should have been way higher in the rankings.
So maybe it wasn't just about Vinicius Jr. losing.
Maybe not.
It sounds like they were questioning the whole system. Like, how does the Ballon d'Or even decide who wins?
Exactly. Real Madrid is like, you know, a giant in the football world. They're not just going to sit there and take it if they think something's wrong.
So this boycott was about more than just one player. It was about power, influence, sending a message.
I think so. Like, don't mess with us.
It's a bold move, that's for sure. But, you know, awards are always going to be a little subjective, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Different voters value different things. There's no one perfect formula. But Real Madrid has definitely stirred up a lot of conversation about how the Ballon d'Or works and about whether it's actually fair and transparent.
That's a great point. Because who are these voters anyway?
Well, it's a mix of journalists, national team coaches, and captains.
But how much does each vote count? And what are they even basing their decisions on? It all seems a little mysterious, if you ask me.
And that mystery just adds fuel to the fire, doesn't it? People start speculating, wondering if there's something fishy going on.
For sure. Okay, so we've got a controversial winner, a major team boycotting the whole event, and a whole lot of questions about how the Ballon d'Or actually works.
It's a mess. A glorious mess.
Before we get into what this all means for the future of the award, let's talk about some of the other winners.
Oh yeah, we can't forget about them. We have Atana Bonmati winning her second Ballon d'Or feminine in a row.
Incredible achievement.
And then there's the young blood, like Lamine Yamal. He won the Copa trophy for best young player.
And he's only 17. 17. That's insane.
It's wild. Okay, so let's start with Aitana Bonmati. She's been absolutely dominant in women's football.
She was incredible this year. Led Barcelona's attack like a maestro.
Perfect analogy. Her vision, her passing, her control of the game. She's truly special.
It's not just about her, though, is it? It's about how far women's football has come.
You're right. We're seeing more and more incredible female players emerging. And Bonmati is definitely one of the leaders of this new generation. But let's go back to Real Madrid for a second. What do you think the long-term impact of this boycott will be?
I don't know. It's hard to say. But they've definitely made a statement.
Oh, yeah. They've exposed some cracks in the system, some tensions that have been simmering below the surface.
Real Madrid isn't known for backing down. Do you think this could damage their relationship with organizations like UEFA and FIFA?
It's possible. They've definitely ruffled some feathers. And, you know, other clubs might be watching this closely, thinking, hey, maybe we can challenge the status quo, too.
It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But speaking of challenging the status quo, Lamine Yamal winning the Copa trophy at 17. That's a big deal, right?
It's huge. It shows that there's a new wave of talent coming through, and they're not afraid of anything.
They're fearless, they're creative, and they're ready to take on the world. You've got Yamal, Bellingham, Pedri, Gavi. It's an exciting time to be a football fan.
I agree. So much talent. But what's driving this surge of young players? Why are we seeing so many of them breaking through at such a young age?
That's a great question. What do you think?
Well, I think the level of coaching and development at academies has improved a lot. These young players are getting top-notch training from a very early age.
So it's not just about raw talent anymore. It's about nurturing that talent in the right environment.
Exactly. And the internet and social media have played a role too. Young players have access to so much information now. They can watch the best players in the world, learn from them no matter where they are.
It's like the barriers have been broken down. Talent can rise to the top more easily than ever before.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And there's also a shift in mentality, I think. These young players aren't afraid to take risks, to express themselves on the pitch. They're hungry to make an impact.
And that hunger is contagious.
Mm.
The older players, the established stars, they're feeling the pressure.
Oh, yeah. They know they can't rest on their laurels. The young guns are coming for them. And that's what makes this era of football so exciting, this clash between the old guard and the new generation.
So much potential. Okay, let's bring it back to the Ballon d'Or. What does this whole situation mean for the future of the award itself? Could Real Madrid's boycott actually lead to some changes?
That's the big question, isn't it? The Ballon d'Or has been criticized before, but this feels different. Real Madrid has forced everyone to confront some uncomfortable truths about the selection process, the lack of transparency, and the influence of the big clubs.
So do you think France football, the people behind the Ballon d'Or, will be pressured to make some adjustments?
I think they'd be foolish not to. The calls for more transparency and a clearer voting process are only going to get louder.
What kind of changes could we realistically expect?
Well, for starters, they could be more open about the criteria for winning and how much each vote actually weighs. They could also think about including more people in the process, maybe former players or even fan representatives.
Fan voting. Now, that would shake things up.
It would definitely add another layer of complexity. But any change to the system will have its own set of challenges.
True. But the bottom line is the Ballon d'Or needs to evolve if it wants to stay relevant.
Exactly. This year's ceremony was a wake-up call. It showed that the award needs to be more transparent, more accountable, and fairer if it wants to truly represent the best players in the world.
We've covered a lot of ground here.
Mm-hmm.
From Real Madrid's shocking boycott to the rise of incredible young talents like Lamine Yamal. But there's one piece of the puzzle we haven't talked about yet.
And that is
the fans. How have they reacted to all this drama?
It's been wild. The fans are all over the place. Well, I mean, it's to be expected, right?
Yeah, for sure. Big topic, lots of opinions.
Some people are totally on Real Madrid's side. They think the boycott was the right call, a brave move against a system that's rigged.
Yeah, like sticking it to the man.
Exactly. But then you've got others who are saying the boycott was disrespectful, that it took away from Rodri's achievement and just made the whole ceremony look bad.
So basically, it's divided the fans right down the middle.
Pretty much. It's become this huge debate about fairness, transparency, and who really has the power in football. It's really touched a nerve.
You know, it's interesting because this whole thing kind of feels bigger than just football, doesn't it?
You're right. I think it speaks to a larger trend. People are demanding more fairness and transparency in all aspects of life.
Like they're not just passively accepting things anymore.
Exactly. Fans are becoming more aware of what's happening behind the scenes, and they're using their voices to demand change.
Social media has played a huge role in that.
Oh, right? Absolutely. It's given fans a platform to express their opinions, to challenge authority, to hold people accountable. The days of just blindly following your team are over. Fans want to be involved. They want to understand how decisions are made.
And they want to feel like their voices actually matter.
Exactly. I think that's what Real Madrid's boycott was all about. They were saying, we're not just going to stand by and let things happen. We're going to fight for what we believe in.
It's a powerful message. And one that's resonating beyond football.
Oh, yeah. We're seeing similar things happening in other sports and entertainment and politics. People are waking up and realizing that they have more power than they thought.
It's like a global awakening.
I like that. A global awakening. And it's all being fueled by this incredible interconnectedness we have now thanks to the internet. Information spreads instantly. People can connect and organize across borders. It's amazing.
So what does all this mean for football? What does the future hold?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but I think we're at a crossroads. The old ways of doing things are being challenged, and the power dynamics are shifting.
So you're saying we could see more boycotts, more radical actions from players and clubs?
It's definitely possible. Players and clubs are realizing they have leverage, and they're not afraid to use it.
So this could be a pretty turbulent time for football.
It could be. But it could also be a time for positive change. If those in power are willing to listen, to adapt, and to embrace greater transparency and accountability, then this could lead to a much better future for the sport.
A future where the fans have a real voice, where merit is rewarded, and where the game is truly beautiful both on and off the pitch.
Exactly. It's a future worth fighting for.
Well, folks, that wraps up our deep dive into the 2024 Ballon d'Or drama. We've explored the controversy, the implications, and the potential for change.
We hope this conversation has given you something to think about, and maybe even sparked some hope for the future of football.
Remember, this game belongs to all of us. Let's work together to make it the best it can be. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.